Hello, and welcome to What Is Wrong with Hiring, the podcast where we talk about why hiring people and getting hired are both absolute nightmares. I'm Laura Klein. I'm an angry hiring manager.
And I'm Amy Santee, a career strategist and coach for user experience professionals.
But also pretty angry sometimes.
Sometimes. Oh, yes.
Not as angry, though. You know, that's what happens. Anyway, please be advised, this podcast may contain drinking, swearing, screaming into the void, pretty much like most podcasts. So today we are going to be talking about yet another thing around getting hired, which is getting more and more complicated. We're going to talk about how to actually help people who are looking for work. I am sure that, Amy, I know that you know them, and I think that anybody listening right now knows them. We all know people who are currently out of work, especially if we work in tech, which I think most of us do. And it is a real different environment than, you know, we, as we previously discussed on our last episode, what the fuck just happened. So, it's been rough. We know some folks are out of work. And Amy, you wrote a really nice blog post that I found very helpful about tangible things we can do for folks who are laid off right now, who are looking for work, who are in a bad situation and need to get out of it, all the different things that we can do to actually tangibly help them, as opposed to just, you know, moral support, which there's nothing wrong with moral support. Sometimes, you know, you just want to be taken out to a movie or something. But how do we help these folks get jobs even in an environment that is not, you know, target rich?
Exactly. And, you know, proactive, tangible, targeted support really is the answer. I hang out on LinkedIn quite a bit. And I've seen, you know, for several months now, a lot of people posting their condolences, you know, and general support. You know, it is a really terrible situation. And there's nothing wrong with expressing your sympathy or even empathy for someone who's been laid off. Especially in this, you know, environment. I think we're up to about 365,000 layoffs in tech over the past 15 months. And I check that number regularly, and it just keeps increasing significantly. We'll probably have to update that number each time we do a show. So yeah, I see a lot of posts. Some are, you know, kind of generic and a little bit vague. Some are a bit more actionable. But I've noticed, you know, trends and patterns in terms of what people tend to post, what they offer, you know, the kind of tone they're striking. And so it got me thinking about what we can actually do to impact someone positively who is going through this trauma. And it's not just people who have been laid off in the past 15 months. It's people who didn't have a job in the first place who are now facing a lot more competition for fewer roles. And I'm talking about people who maybe were transitioning into tech, students, people with less experience, and all of the folks who have been laid off essentially cut the line in front of those people.
Yeah.
So we have a whole, you know, 365,000 plus tens more thousands of people who are already looking for a job. So the question is, what can we do to actually help these folks beyond offering that moral support?
Yeah. And like I said, nothing wrong with moral support. One of the things that I found really interesting about your blog post, and everybody should go read it, it is called Tech Layoffs, 12 Ways to Actually Help Job Seekers. And it's on your website, and we will go ahead and post the link to that in the notes so that you can just click on it. So we don't have to read it out loud to you. That's not what this podcast is about. But I thought there was something really interesting about it, which was that there were two kind of categories of them. There were the, like, and we're going to talk through each of them. There were the, you know, here are some tangible things. Here are a couple of things you can actually do that will help people. And some of them were really about, and here is how to protect yourself so that you don't burn out yourself on everybody else's problems, which, I mean, it seems rough to think that way sometimes now, especially for those of us who, you know, maybe still do, you know, are working and aren't necessarily looking. It can be very hard to think like, oh, you know, it's my job to help all of these folks who, I mean, that could be me. But also a lot of us are in a situation where it's like, oh, now we're doing twice the work with half the people. And, you know, we don't want to burn that. We don't want to burn ourselves out. So first, let's talk about some of the, what are your favorite things that like I could do tomorrow for a friend of mine or three friends of mine or a dozen, who are looking for something. Let's say, you know, these are not brand new folks. These are mid-level to senior folks. You know, how do I help them?
Yes. So we've talked about proactive, tangible, and targeted. I just want to define real quick what those mean. So proactive basically being, don't require the person who needs help to reach out to you, which, you know, is what is expected if you put out a public offer for assistance, expecting people to respond to that. Tangible being like, you know, specific, actionable, you know, realistic, practical sort of things that can move the needle for someone in a significant way that don't take a lot of effort. And targeted being, think of the people who you are most qualified to help. What are you good at? What are your competencies? Who do you care about the most? Maybe there are particular groups of people you want to support. And use all of that to really narrow your scope. And really, we can have a lot of impact within a smaller scope versus trying to help everyone, trying to offer kind of generic types of help publicly to people. So I think that's one way to think about this. And even before you start to decide what actions you want to take, like think about the impact you want to have. And if you want to use the SMART goals framework, which is specific, measurable, actionable, relevant, and timely, if you can, you know, think a little bit about your goals and bring all that together, plus your capacity, think, you know, that's just going to help you be more effective. So to answer your question, you know, we can discuss several of the things that I talked about on the blog post. I think one of the most important things is to offer direct and personal, like offer direct support personally to someone you know who was looking for a job. And it might be that, you know, you chatted with them and found that out, you saw them post on LinkedIn, you heard through the grapevine that so-and-so got laid off, you know, mutual contact. And what better way to, you know, make someone feel better about their situation, get a bit of an ego boost, to feel cared for if you send a message on LinkedIn or send a text or an email going, hey, I would love to help you out. You know, I really enjoyed working with you. You know, I remember these things about you. You know, I would love to help you with a resume, portfolio review, interview prep. And that goes to the second point I made, which is being specific. Like you can be open to any kind of request, but if you can find out what people need, or offer again, things that you are qualified to help with, that's going to be just so much better. And also open up the conversation so people don't feel like maybe they're asking for too much.
Yeah. This goes to one of my sort of personal things that I like to do, which is, you know, if you know the person really well, I will not generally recommend somebody for a job unless I've worked with them before, you know, or I know them like so well personally that I can absolutely vouch for them, or I know like people who have worked for them. So what I found is that the more you know the person and the more you know exactly what they're looking for, the more help you can be to them, because, you know, whether it's forwarding them, you know, jobs or making connections directly for them, or, you know, offering them, you know, if you know somebody's a fabulous interviewer, you know, you don't need to offer them interview prep, but, you know, maybe you know that they don't know nearly as many people as you, or vice versa. It's I think easier to make those offers to folks if you know what they're actually looking for. I just want to make a note, in situations like this that I have been through before a couple of times where there are a lot of them, sometimes it's nice to keep a little, I don't know, spreadsheet of folks.
Yeah,
exactly what they're looking for, because there is nothing more frustrating I have found as a job seeker than to have people just forwarding you all kinds of crap that has nothing to do with what you're looking for, or even worse, like making cold referrals to you for things where you're like, you then have to go like, oh no, thank you. That's, I don't do web design. Like, I don't need that. Thank you though to somebody that your friend has referred to you without asking. So just a few little things in there that if you actually know what they're looking for and you can just reach out. I love the reaching out to them directly, but also sort of asking them for like, what are you looking for right now? Hell, mm-hmm. some of them are looking to get out of tech and I can't actually blame them for that.
Mm. Yes, I condone that consideration. Yes.
Yeah. And this is not like a get out so there's more jobs for me. That's not entirely what this is about. It's only slightly what this is about, and it only really applies to senior director and above. So the rest of you, the rest of you are welcome to stay, and we would like to keep you.
Well, and related to that is this idea of playing matchmaker and connecting people and jobs and hiring managers and recruiters. That's always been a thing. That's always been really helpful. But now more than ever, and to, you know, think about your network, think about who is a great fit for this job you came across. It relates exactly to what you were just saying. Facilitate that connection directly. You know, don't just forward the job post. Follow up with a referral into the application system. That kind of connection and matchmaking is more crucial than ever.
Yeah. I am more likely actually to take cold calls from recruiters these days because I am very happy, even if I'm not personally looking, you know, I always like hearing people out if it sounds interesting, and B, it might be real interesting to somebody else on my network. And it's much easier once I've made that connection to be like, I've got the right person for you. This is kind of an interesting thing that I have done my whole career, not just in times of scarcity. And I do it whether I have a job or not, because I have a lot of privilege around being able to do this, because often when I'm looking, I don't like need any particular, like I don't need just any job, right? I'm looking for something really specific. So if you're the kind of person who's looking for something real specific, whether you're finding or not, like you're going to find a lot of things that are close that sound like they'd be great jobs. You know, there's a lot of that. Wow, this would be such a good job for somebody who is not me. And I think that's really important to know. And it's really important to have that list of folks where you can go, you know what? I hear you. This sounds fabulous. I think this would be amazing. I would like to introduce you to my friend Amy or my friend Marcus or my friend whoever. And I mean, I've done this repeatedly. And, I did make a couple of people extremely rich by giving up jobs at like super early startups, but like they would have been wrong for me. So, you know, as long as they invite me on their yacht, that's cool. Like,
yeah, totally, yeah. Totally happy. That would be a nice act of reciprocity, or, you know, finder's fee or something like that.
I mean, but like, you know, after you get super rich, like you don't need to give me anything for that. Just keep me in mind. Just yeah. Hire me as your butler, you know?
Sure. And people in tech, you know, well, I don't know, maybe certain areas of tech, certain people in tech, specifically within UX, which is both of our backgrounds, there's a lot of generosity. And I think most people do things because they're generous. They want to pay it forward. Tech is hard to get into sometimes. You know, they had a lot of help from other people when, you know, they needed stuff. And so people are generous. People like to reciprocate at least some of the time, especially those who are really grateful for that. And so while folks aren't necessarily doing it for, you know, personal agendas or whatever, things that will benefit them, you know, it's a little bit more altruistic. And, you know, that's the way social networking and social capital works. It's comes back to you later. People will remember you and reciprocate later on when you need help.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's true. Like I think if you always feel like if you help enough people, like that, you know, you end up getting some help later. It's not 100% true, but, and it's not always the people that you helped, but they kind of, I don't know, that doesn't matter as much to me. Like I actually enjoy the helping. The other thing that I really like is that I have always felt, especially in design, but really in any kind of thing where people are hiring other people for maybe sort of vague roles, or sometimes the hiring person doesn't understand the role that well. It's so nice to be able to get something perfect for somebody else and explain to the recruiter or the hiring manager why, no, you've got me wrong. Like, I don't do exactly that, but I know people who do exactly that. And then like everybody's kind of in a better job for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that helps. And, you know, honestly, hell, that hiring manager is more likely to think of you positively.
Right.
Because you were very upfront with them about, I do not want a job that I cannot do. So if you then talk to them about a job you could do, they're more likely to believe you. And again, you don't really go through this calculus as you're recommending people, but it does exist. Like, these are all true things that happen over time. So anyway,
absolutely.
Think
absolutely.
About it. You know.
Yeah. And, you know, one other thing I want to mention is I've been, you know, looking on LinkedIn at different posts, like I mentioned, and kind of just seeing what's going on with that. And I saved several posts that I thought did some of these things really well. And we were talking about being targeted, being really specific, offering things that you're good at and qualified to do. And I saw this really, really good example from someone who said, hey, I want to help. Here's what I'm offering. They mentioned resume prep, or resume review, interview prep, portfolio, specifically for academic transitioners, people who were recently laid off, and prioritizing marginalized identities like LGBTQ, people of color, low income, first generation. They also mentioned areas of focus that, or, you know, areas of expertise like research, civic tech, pay negotiation, and not visual design, not AI, not contracting, right? And I thought, like, wow, this is exactly hitting on all of these things, tangible, specific, and, you know, whatever the other one was. So, you know, I think there's some really good examples. And I did share some of those out there on my blog post in case people are looking for things. So, you know, that idea of putting your efforts where they're needed most and prioritizing people, say, without access to certain privileges, you know, time or money or socioeconomic, I think is another way to hone in on your impact or increase that impact.
And I do want to make one, and I love all of that. I want to make one tweak to it, just the tiniest of tweaks, which is, and I run into this myself, right? Again, we've talked about this. I am extremely privileged, like, you know, white, rich, old, straight lady working in tech, like only one of those is potentially a, you know, strike against me. And I mean, frankly, I'm just three engineers stacked in a raincoat. So, I mean, it's like, I don't like, I have plenty of it. So it can be very hard for me sometimes to make good recommendations that, I mean, well, first of all, nobody can make recommendations that apply to absolutely everybody. That's not a thing. As you point out, the specific and the targeted is really important. So if you have any kind of insight into the particular, it's not like, you know, only Black people can mentor Black people. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true or useful or helpful, but you do have to be careful if you're giving advice to people about here's how you should say this or present yourself or do whatever, that other people experience the world differently from you. I'm sure that everybody listening to this podcast has heard me talk about this or has heard more eloquent people talk about this and who have heard people who've actually studied this talk about this, but I just want to make real clear, writing the like generic advice from like a person who already made it in tech, maybe not as helpful as you think it is, and they may have to do things differently. So if you are offering help to those folks, like maybe things like about, you know, like portfolio reviews, seem more, not 100% without bias, but those seem a little, I don't know, better? I don't know.
No, I think that's a really great point. And, you know, certain folks really are more aware of that kind of stuff. And then other people really haven't thought about the role of certain privileges in how they advise or how they experience the working world or life in general as compared with other people. So I think that's a really great point. Think about that stuff when you're providing advice, mentoring. And yeah, I mean, like you said, we don't have to have a one-to-one. Like if you're this lived experience, then you can only mentor or advise people with the same lived experience, right? But absolutely important to consider.
Yeah, to consider that some of your advice may be wildly more relevant than others.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to things like negotiation for salary or how to present yourself in interviews. You know, sometimes the folks who are doing something a little different from you know something that you don't. And you know what? That's okay. Well, let's be fair. It's not okay. We should all be able to present ourselves however the hell we are and not worry about it. But that's not the world we live in. That is a different podcast. We've been talking a lot about all of the work that I can do to help other people get work. And don't get me wrong, I desperately want to get help people get jobs. But also, Amy, as you know, I am incredibly lazy. Don't write into the podcast with like, you're not actually lazy. You're just... No. I am extremely lazy. Do not question me on this. It is just true.
Oh, I'm really lazy as well. Like, I mean,
yeah, except for like the 40 hours of extracurricular work that I've put in on the new Zelda game so far. Yeah.
Do you stream?
No, God, no. Again, lazy. Also not that interesting or good at it.
I would watch your Zelda stream.
No, you can only watch somebody fall into lava so many times before it gets extremely frustrating. It is hilarious, though. Anyway, we've talked so much about these things that I could do. Can you give me a little permission to maybe not do all of them at once? Because this stuff really can burn you out.
Well, I think this is applicable to anything in life where so many of us love to contribute and help others and put others first. And there's a lot of cultural socialization going on there. But thinking about existing at work, thinking about helping folks during this challenging time, it's okay if you help one person with something really significant. If you can help a few people or, you know, scale up and there's different ways of doing it, like, awesome. But, you know, there's this idea of, you know, when you're on an airplane, you want to put your oxygen mask on first and then help other people. Like, it's just practically a better idea and, you know, whatever. But I think it's a very apt metaphor for what we're doing here, what we're talking about, which is being realistic with your time and your energy, knowing your capacity and going like, okay, I want to support others, but what's within reach, what's reasonable for me. And if you have a voice going on inside your head that's saying like, you know, you should feel guilty that you're not doing more, or, you know, like, why can't you help more people? And you're not, you know, like, that's something to pay attention to. And I think something that's fairly common for generous and supportive people. So, knowing what you're capable of, and, you know, if you can't do anything right now, that's okay too. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that no one will ever know, right? Maybe all we can muster is a message of support publicly on LinkedIn. Maybe all we can do is message a couple of people. Who knows what's going on, right? And we don't owe anyone an explanation for that, nor do we need to feel guilty.
Yeah, I mean, and there are little lightweight things that might, like, if there is one thing that you can do, it's actually funny. One of the folks at my company, who's he's a fairly senior in UX research, and, you know, there were layoffs, and, you know, UX research, you know, there are UX researchers who are out of work, and he is just posting, he is resharing basically every single good looking user research job in his LinkedIn. So like, you go and you always like see there's just a wall of different posts. So, you know, at least like, and I know just applying into the void is hard and it's exhausting, but if that's what you can do, like, that's a really valuable service, letting people know that there are things out there and that, you know, here are some, it's not just, you know, all the same things over and over. Here are some actual links from, and they tend to be, I think, people he, you know, knows or is connected to who are hiring. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, reposting specific things, which, you know, that's great. That's like his thing.
Yeah,
but it can also be your thing. It can be all of our things.
It could. However, I think this is an excellent example because I don't do that. And that's a very intentional choice. It's because everyone else does it and I don't need to do it. So it helps me because since everyone else shares and reposts job openings, that tells me what is out there. And then I can send those to the people who I know who are looking, or I can facilitate connections. So I think that's a really good example of a tactic that is a little bit more strategic, thinking about like, what information is being shared a lot out there? What information, like how can I be a conduit for certain information? And how can I offer something different? And you're talking about something that is a great example of scaling. So, mm-hmm. you know, we can help people individually. We can help people within an online community such as LinkedIn. And, you know, that's where I hang out. So I always use that as an example. But there are ways to scale our impact. And I've seen some awesome examples, shared a couple in the blog post, things like open access resources, curated lists, directories, you know, job search how-tos. Again, making sure you're qualified to share that kind of information,
right.
is good, right? So those are evergreen. Those are things that can be living documents that you can continue editing. And then also this idea of, you know, doing free public events like a Q&A or a webinar, maybe even joining up with a meetup that has a large audience, right? Like think of these other ways that you can have impact on a larger scale.
Yeah, but don't do another hiring podcast. We've got plenty. We've got that covered. Amy and I are on it. And yeah, so anything other than a podcast about hiring is great. And so I totally agree with you once again. It's interesting though, because like I would say like it's so good. You can be very specific and share things with people, and other people are aggregating those things so that it's easy for you to follow those and grab those. So it's, I kind of like all of it. I like that folks are doing whatever they can. I know you also mentioned, you know, things like recommendations. I don't know how much like LinkedIn profile recommendations matter to folks. I think they do matter to certain jobs much more than others. As a person who is, you know, slightly recognizable, like if I have worked with people in the past and enjoyed working with them, let's be real clear, I will absolutely write them one. And I try to be, sometimes I'll sort of ask them like, what are your other ones about? And what would you like me to hit on that, like, you know, you're trying to get a job in right now? So, you know, do you want me to talk about how detail oriented you are? Or do you want me to talk about how strategic you are? Or, you know, like, as that I won't ever, I would never lie to some, I would never lie about that. And like I said, I would never write one for somebody that I didn't legitimately think did a good job. But, you know, I'm totally happy to sort of tailor them to, you know, help that person get their next thing.
And that makes it easier on you. Like you're doing a favor for them, but if you, you know, can think of specific things, or you can ask them like, hey, I'd love to write you a recommendation or a testimonial. Are there any particular items you'd like me to cover? Then you know what to craft. And these don't have to be long things, right? After every client I work with, I send a follow-up survey, you know, what worked, what didn't work. Would you be willing to leave me a LinkedIn profile recommendation? And the reason I have so many is A, because I ask for them. B, I do it right after we work together. But I also, you know, if I want to, I can say, hey, would you touch on XYZ? Or, hey, you talked about this in the survey. Could you cover that stuff? Right. So I think, you know, as job seekers or as, you know, people, you know, looking for jobs in the future or now, it's great if we can be proactive. But yes, if you have had a great working relationship with someone, go ahead and just send them one. That's another like really awesome surprise, you know, ego boost. Or you can say, hey, I'd love to do this. Are you okay with that? So yeah. And, you know, if we think about a system of career assets, including like a resume, website, portfolio, any kind of interview conversations, and then our LinkedIn, they all work together in a system. And hiring managers and recruiters most likely will look at our LinkedIn. And if our profile is compelling enough, they will get down to the section where there are these written testimonials. And the power of a testimonial from someone versus say just like how you describe your work, like that can really make a difference.
I hope so. I do write them for folks. And it's actually funny. I just thought about it. A really good recruiter that I had worked with, unfortunately got laid off because, you know, there's so little recruiting done at this point. And I reached out to her and offered to write her one. And now that I'm thinking about it, that may have come across as a little bit self-serving, because it's like, you know, it's always nice to know a really good recruiter who might be looking for people sometime in the future. But, you know, like, I just really liked working with her, and she was just head and shoulders better than some of the ones that I'd worked with. And, you know, now she's in a new company. And so might drop in and say hi and see how she's doing and see if she has any open roles for, you know, all of my friends who are still looking.
Yes. Yes.
What so a time. Just, you know, close the circle there of help and friendliness. I think it's, I think we all want to help. I truly do. I mean, I'm sure that there's one or two people out there who's like, I don't care. But most of us are good people. We want to help. I think you made some really good points about how to help best in a way that is both useful to the recipient and also something that is sustainable and, you know, that you're qualified to do. And I think those are all really important parts of it. It's not, you know, you can't help absolutely everybody. You're not qualified. I'm certainly not qualified. And I would get too tired and lazy. But I can help a few people with some very specific things. And if I can find people who match that, fantastic. So any final thoughts on this?
The final thought is that we make our community stronger in the face of these systemic challenges that we really have no control over. Broadly speaking, we make things better for individual people, for ourselves, and our larger community. I think there's a lot of power in that.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, the design community can, God, we love starting stupid fights with each other over like what to name a thing. But I've been really impressed with how some folks have stepped up and, you know, really helped when things got bad. So, you know, we're a mixed bunch, but we can always be better. And I think that we're better by keeping folks in who we need to have in and who may be struggling right now. So, you know, it will get better at some point. I promise. Don't quote me on that, but it is. It will. That is all the time that we have for today, unfortunately. I am Laura.
And I'm Amy.
And we want to thank all of you for listening and wish you all the best of luck with your search, no matter what you're looking for. We are rooting for you.